I have the privilege of speaking tonight. I've been given the opportunity to share a little bit on what's my heart, what's on my heart. I'm not much of a talker, but we'll see what the Spirit leads me to do. Okay? Those of you here, thank you. I appreciate you coming out tonight and just being together with the body of Christ. I don't really have a title, but I just want to talk about leading off with, being ready. There's a lot of news. I don't know if you guys watch the news or not. I don't really watch the main media channels, but I do keep up with what's going on around the world. And if you look around, we are in the end times, whether you believe it or not. I mean, there's rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and all that stuff. And that's just signs of of the Lord's return. It's stated in the Bible that this is going to happen. These are signs of what's to come, and that Jesus is just right around the corner. Whether you believe it or not, it's our job to be prepared. If you're a Christian like me, I've been born and raised in church. You know, I was born on a pew, raised in a pew, slept under a pew, left at home on the pew. I left the church on the pew. The church was my home. So I've always heard, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Like, get ready. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And now more than ever, it's right there. It's on the edge. It's right on the cusp. And like I said, you can see it if you just simply watch the news. There's just signs of, the hurricane that just came through North Carolina and the East Coast is just a sign of the troubles that are coming and that God is on his way. Christians are always here and always saying, be ready. Luke chapter 12, verse 38 and verse 40, it says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let this house be broken into. And verse 40, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The Bible doesn't say when he's coming. He just says, be ready, right? Just like I tell my kids when church is coming or when it's time to get ready for church, get ready, because when it's time to go, it's time to go. I haven't left them behind because I'm not that kind of dad, but my dad would probably make me stay behind and walk to church. And church was like an hour away, by the way. Anyways, we are in the end of times. What are things that you can do to be ready? What are the common things that we can do to be ready? Praying, spending time in the Word, spending time fellowshipping with God, reading the Word of God, learning, meditating, and just soaking in his presence. And then we got to tell others. We need to tell others, just not people here in the church, but in our neighborhoods, or in our families, in our work environment. If you go to school, some people probably go to school. Just wherever you are, in the store, we need to tell people that the end is coming and they need to be ready. And I can show you how to be ready. I can help you to be ready. But what's one of the most needed things to be ready? I mean, we can read the Bible all we want, but if we don't have something that I'm fixing to talk about, then all that's just going to fly over us. We need the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is very critical to our being, to our relationship, to getting to know the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has been since the beginning. He's part of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One can't exist without the other. So he's always been and always will be and always has been. Like I said, reading the Word of God, praying, talking to others, meditating, all these are very important and crucial, but it can't be accomplished without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential to our lives. Whoever was in our breakout session last time we were here, I think Cody was here. And Daniel was here also. We are in the men's group, in the men's section. We're starting to do a study with John Bevere. If you don't know who John Bevere is, very, very good communicator of the Word of God. Very, very good teacher. It doesn't matter what you pick. Pick one of his teachings. You will get built up, and you will learn more about yourself, more about what it is to just know more about God. He's just so good. Really, really good. And then his testimony is awesome, too, by the way. You should listen to that as well. But sorry, got sidetracked. So we're talking about our study is in The Holy Spirit by John Bevere. It's called The Holy Spirit Introduction. And we only went through the introduction phase, and I was floored. There's stuff that I've thought about before or that you hear about, but you don't really think about it till somebody else is like, says it, and you're like, oh man, I didn't really put two and two together, or I didn't really think about it that way. But I can't wait to get the rest of through the rest of the study. So men here, and if you're listening, please make sure that you attend the men's studies. It's very good for us. It's very good. This time of age, we need the men to stand up and be the leaders in our homes, be the leaders in the church, and be the leaders in our work. And this will definitely help us reach and get to that potential. He was saying the Holy Spirit is very underutilized. Like I said, there's the Godhead is the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit is like me sitting on the bench during a high school football game, right? They just say, oh, Levi's no good, just put him out there. Well, that's with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't put any emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and that's just a bad misconception. I mean, the Holy Spirit is as essential as God the Father and God the Son. He's always been there. If we go to Genesis 1:1, this is from that study that we had a couple Wednesdays ago. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, I've heard that thousands of times, but I don't know. It just clicked that one time when he was talking about the Holy Spirit was pretty much the first part of God that was on the earth, right? He was hovering over the Spirit. His Spirit was hovering over the waters. Before God breathed life into Adam, before God, Jesus came down on earth, before angels ever trotted on this earth, the Holy Spirit was here hovering, and just his presence was here. And it still continues to be here, and it will continue to be here. But that's just something that was really like, whoa, man, I didn't really think about it that way. Let me backtrack a little bit. So the Holy Spirit's been here. He was here. He was with, you know, all the members of faith. He was with Abraham. The Spirit of God came over Abraham. The Spirit of God came over Moses. The Spirit of God came over Elijah. The Spirit of God came over Joshua. The Spirit of God came over Samson, over a lot of people in the Bible. And they needed the Spirit of God. And because they need the Spirit of God, so do we. Even Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, who died on a cross, who gave himself for us, needed the Spirit. He could not do anything without the Holy Spirit being part of his life. Luke 3:21. When all the people who were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So we see here that right before God or Jesus started his ministry, he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then following in Luke 4, chapter 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry, like I usually am. Only until he was filled did he go out. His ministry did not begin until the Holy Spirit came upon him, empowered him, and gave him the power and the ability and the anointing to go forth, to teach, to do the miracles, to have wisdom, to discern, to create create miracles and teach his disciples. So if Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, needs the Holy Spirit or needed the Holy Spirit, how much more me as a fallen person? Jesus did not sin. I have sinned. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit just much more than Jesus Christ did. Because as we've always heard, the battle is not a spiritual, it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle, right? We battle not against flesh and bones, but against powers and principalities. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are all in the spiritual battle, whether we see ourselves in it or not. We are all in this race. We're all together, whether you think you're not. If you think you are, you better know what side you're on. You better be on the side that glorifies God, that seeks God, and that praises God. Because if you're not, and you don't know that you are, most likely, you're on the other side. And guess what? You're going to lose eventually. So remember that. We're all in a spiritual battle, and we're all in the battle, whether we see ourselves in it or not. Whether you're, you know, stay-at-home mom, you're in the battle. You're just as important as pastor is when he preaches up here on Sunday mornings. Whether you're an anesthesiologist, whether you're a homeopathy, or whether you're a cleaner, whatever, you're Miss Melanie. We all need the Holy Spirit, and we're all part of this unit together. I keep saying spirit, but there's more than just the Holy Spirit. There's evil principalities. There's evil darkness. So the question is, which spirit are we following? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 and 4. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And verse 4, for everything God has created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So the Spirit of God clearly states that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. People will be deceived. So it's our job to guard ourselves, guard our heart, guard our mind, put on our full armor of God, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, the word of God, the sword of the word of God, I learned most of this stuff in Spanish, so. The sword of the Spirit, shod your feet with the preparation of peace, the gospel of peace. So we got to guard ourselves. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to daily, sometimes more than daily, right? Hourly, minute. Sometimes we're like me, whenever you're driving down the street, I got to continuously put on the armor of God because otherwise, I'm not so good, right? Because I am a fallen man, and I do make some bad choices on the road sometimes. be on guard from protect yourself, protect your mind. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful of the news that you're watching. Like I said earlier, I don't necessarily watch the news, but I do keep up. But whatever information I'm getting, wherever I'm getting it from, I got to guard myself from that. I got to watch out because although it's what I believe to be better, it's not necessarily all good. Just like a lot of food, healthy food is okay, but if you eat too much healthy food, then you get tummy pains like I do in the middle of the night, right? So just because something appears to be good, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. So guard yourself. Use the Holy Spirit to help you discern what is true, what is evil, what is true from what is evil, and just to help you discern. Because there's a lot of deceiving spirits right now. There's a lot of false things. There's a lot of false teachings. So we must protect ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is our answer, is our key, and is our helper. Like I said, we talk to our kids all the time. I mean, school is crazy now. They go to a very decent school, I think. But even in that school, there's kids that can be led astray. Our kids can be led astray. So we tell them, you know, Use your mind, reason, think about what's going on, think about your choices, think about your options, but always put God first, always place Him for His word first, and do what He says, do what the Word says, whether it makes you look like a fool or not. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? More important is for their relationship, for how their walk with God is, and so that's what we train our kids to do, and hopefully we'll see the fruit of that, just like many of you have seen the fruit of you rearing your child in the Word of God. And the young one doesn't usually get it, but day after day after day, guess what? One day they're going to realize, oh, okay, I understand. Our middle child, he understands more and more and more. our oldest, he's understanding more and more and more. It helps with us. It helps with them being in the body of Christ, being a part of a church, being a part of a group that believes the same way they do, that believes in the Word of God and believes that the Spirit of God is the way to build wisdom in their heart and their mind. So we need to be led by the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, however you say it, the Holy Spirit, Espíritu Santo, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it, the Spirit of God, all right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, enables this understanding within us so that we begin to comprehend and appreciate things beyond the physical world we see, know, and understand, so we can understand the truth. Walking by the Spirit, it's very, very important. I mean, we're constantly being bombarded. We're constantly being attacked. An influencer who's a Christian, you're constantly being attacked. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be attacked. Why? Because the devil is going to try to take you down. It's going to try to just tear you down. It's going to try to eat you up, tear you down, chew you up, and spit you out, and just wear you out as much as you can. But the Holy Spirit will give us strength. It gives us, it induces with power to persevere, to win the race, to continue the race, and to win the race. And being led by the Spirit, there's freedom. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from guilt, shame, fear, and death. From the fear of death as well. Freedom from condemnation. So we can always come to God and Jesus, because Jesus did not come to condemn us, right? He came us to save us and rescue us from this petty little world. Now, we can condemn one another sometimes, but Jesus, he is pure love. His object is to see you, rescue you, pull you out, and get you to follow him so that way you can do the same for your neighbor. You can do the same for your friend. You can do the same for your mom, for your wife, for your friend, for your husband, right? Is to pull one another, bring each other along, and walk together, and then bring somebody else along so we can be one big, happy family. Freedom from guilt, shame, and fear of death. We are free from guilt, shame, and the fear of death because of the death, because of Jesus' death and resurrection. We don't have to fear death. We have eternal life. Yes, we have a physical death, but we have a spiritual, eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven when we will rule with him forever and ever and ever. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to. There is a lake of fire. There is hell. And either you choose hell or you choose life eternal with Christ in heaven. I mean, it's just simple. One or the other. Two choices, no other choices. We can live free from the fear of death because of the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ's blood. And then we have the freedom to obey God. We have the liberty to deny our selfish desires and obey God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to say no to the flesh, to say no to say no to our fleshly desires. I mean, like I was saying earlier, we're constantly being bombarded with images, with music. Music is, to me, is pretty, pretty, is one of the, I don't know how to explain it, but music is very, very powerful influence. And I do let my kids listen to some kind of music, but I'm very guarded about them continuing to listen to it, or if I know it's something that they shouldn't be listening to it, because it's very, very powerful. It's a very powerful influence. I mean, Lucifer was the head guy of praise and worship in heaven, and he got kicked out because of his pride. And so he is a master at using music to reach out to kids, to people who are in need, people who are alone, people who are in a desperate, desperate part of their lives. They usually seek out music, and the devil just tries to ensnare them, and that's just something that we have to watch for ourselves and for our family and for our kids. And, you know, freedom from the present world, we know that this is just a temporary home for us, that earth is just, you know, a skip on the way to heaven. But we must do what we can while we're here on this earth. While we're here on heaven, we must do what we can, empower ourselves with the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God, know the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and be bold and reach out to people who don't know. It's our job, it's our duty, it's our responsibility. And with the Holy Spirit, we can get that done. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just words. But with the Holy Spirit, it's a message that can reach in deep parts of the heart, deep parts of somebody's mind. The Holy Spirit will soften the mind and allow your words, for the Holy Spirit to move through your words to reach out to other people. So that's all I have for tonight. I know it's short and sweet, but it's just something that was on my heart. I can't wait to get to the rest of the study that we have in the men's group with the Holy Spirit. Like I said, we went through the introduction only, and I was just like, whoa, that's pretty cool. One more thing that we heard in the introduction about John Bevere is one of the things that stuck in me was the realization that Jesus is in heaven right now, but the Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus had to leave for the Holy Spirit to come. If Jesus didn't leave, then guess what? The Holy Spirit can't be here. Jesus is, yes, he's God and man, but he was just one person. But he left, and now we have the Holy Spirit who can be in my wife, who can be in my mother-in-law, my wonderful mother-in-law, and Miss Melanie and Emma and every one of us. He can be with us at all times, anytime, all day, wherever we are. The Holy Spirit is with us. It's the same Spirit that was hovering the earth before creation even started. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that's with us. So.